Sometimes I'm sure when some preacher's up here preaching away, you sit there and say, I'd like to have my chance, him or her. And sometimes I feel like people take opportunities to preach to me, and I know they do on occasion. Years ago, I had a church meeting, and I was unhappy about the turnout and this, that, and the other. And the man that was leading the singing got up and announced the hymn that we were singing and looked at me and grinned. And we sang, "My faith looks up to thee." He's saying, in effect, you trust God, not these people here. And tonight, Barbara chose, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future for a prelude. And then farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. And I think maybe she was preaching a little bit to me tonight. And that's all right, because I need it. The 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verses 17 through 21. We saw last Sunday night, Jesus told the disciples to go and follow a man with a pitcher of water and go to the master of the house and ask where the room. And they found a room all ready, just as he said, and they prepared for the meal. Verse 17, in the evening he came with the 12 and they sat and ate. And Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me." And they began to be sorrowful and say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" And he answered and said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he'd never been born." And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Well, as we said, everything was ready. The disciples found everything just as Jesus said it would be. And they come in the evening and sit down and begin to eat their meal together. Everything's fine. Nothing out of the ordinary. But while they were eating, Jesus made the awful announcement that one of those eating with him would betray him. How do the disciples react to this announcement? How do we react? Well, their first reaction was they began to be sorrowful. This was a terrible thing that Jesus had laid upon them. We all know what it is to get the news that someone we love is ill and not expected to live. It's a sorrowful time. It's a painful time. It's a difficult time. And Jesus hasn't announced that he's sick or terminally ill. It's much worse than that. He says one of his closest friends, one of the 12 chosen ones who had lived with him, who had listened to his teaching, who had shared everything with him, for 3 years, one of these 12 is going to betray him. So the first reaction of the disciples was sorrow. And it's natural. There was surely shock and unbelief, but first there was sorrow. And then they begin to ask Jesus, one after the other, they ask him, "Is it I? Is it I?" This is surprising to me. Apparently, they had no idea who was planning the foul deed. They did not all turn to Judas with accusing eyes. They did not know who might do such a thing. And yet, they each examined their own hearts. And this is somewhat surprising. Somehow they knew there was the potential within each of them to do this foul thing. While not accusing anyone else, they each asked, "Is it I? Is it I?" They seemed to go through a deep inner probing. They were not complacent. They were not self-satisfied. They knew somehow, even though unknown to themselves, they knew that they might be the guilty one. Is it I? How do we react to Jesus' announcement? If you had been reading the gospel story for the first time and come to this announcement, you might have experienced unbelief and shock as well as sorrow as the disciples did. It'd be hard to believe. After all, Jesus had gone about doing good. He'd healed the sick, fed the hungry. 5,000 plus women and children on one occasion, 4,000 on another occasion. He'd healed the demon-possessed. He'd given sight to the blind. Even one person we know that was born blind, never seen, Jesus gave him sight. He enabled the mute to speak, the deaf to hear. Why, he even raised the dead. Somebody goes around doing things like this, who would want to do him any harm? He never did anything that was bad for anybody. All he did was good. Who would want to harm him? And yet he had been saying earlier, as we have seen, that he would be delivered up to the authorities and tried and killed. He had his enemies. But surely not among the 12. Surely this is an additional reason for sorrow. He'll not just be betrayed, but be betrayed by one of his closest friends. Nor in the story before, how do you think you would have reacted if you'd been one of the 12? If you'd been one of the 12 and Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," what would have been your reaction? Well, I can imagine what I might have said. "I bet I know who it is. I've been hearing some gossip about some of the things Judas has been doing. He's different too. He's not really one of us. He didn't come from Alabama. He's a Yankee. He doesn't talk like we do. He's different." I bet it's Judas. I know I could never do anything like that. It's got to be Judas. And if not Judas, then maybe Matthew. After all, he was a traitor to our country. Before Jesus called him, Matthew was a tax collector. He'd sold out to the Roman authorities. He was collecting taxes for Rome. And all that he got above a certain amount, he kept for himself. He'd become wealthy off of the backs of their own people. Before Jesus called him, he was a publican, a tax collector. If Judas isn't the one, then surely it must be Matthew. I'm almost positive it's one of these two. I'm positive it's not me. I'd never do anything like that. As Peter said later, I'd probably have said something like he did. "Though all fall away, I'll never fall away. And even if I must die with you, I'll not deny you." Peter was so sure. How would you have reacted to Jesus' announcement? Would you have been honest enough to ask, is it I? There's another thing here. Only a disciple or a friend can betray you. An enemy might do you harm. They might hurt you. They might lie about you. They might cheat you. But only a disciple or a friend can betray you. Only someone whom you believe in, someone you trust, someone you have confidence in, can betray you. A stranger can't betray you. He might hurt you, but he can't betray you. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Do you claim Him as your friend? Then you need to carefully look at the question of the 12. Is it I? And examine yourself. Do we sometimes betray our Savior when we allow our devotion, our principles, to be worn away without renewal? Do we get so busy sometimes doing good things, church things, wonderful things for Jesus, that we betray Jesus for how we do not have time for Him? I don't remember much that I ever heard anybody say in a sermon. But one of the sermons that I heard as a seminary student early on in my career there, one of the professors was preaching, and the thing he said was, you can lose your soul in seminary. You can lose your soul in doing good, wonderful things in the church if you get so busy that you don't have time for Jesus. Is it I? Do we sometimes betray Jesus when we try to make Him fit into our way of life and thought, our way of thinking and doing things, rather than changing our way, our thought, our way of doing to the way that He would have us to be? How do we make our plans? Do we decide what we want to do, where we want to go, our course of action for tomorrow, and then pray that God would bless us in it? Or do we pray, Lord, what would You have me to do? And wait for His will to be revealed. And then do what He would have us to do. Jesus, you see, is never to be fitted into our lives. We must arrange our lives to fit Him. Do we not sometimes betray Jesus when we think His teaching and His living were too radical, and we can't live like that in this world? Oh yes, His ideas were wonderful, they were good, but sometimes, you know, He just went too far. He said we ought to love our enemies. Now, who can do that? He said we ought to do good to those who curse us, and pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. That sounds good. But we know, really, don't we know that you can't live like that in this world? Is it our Lord? Am I your friend? If you are His friend, He believes in you. Do you and I betray Him by failing to live a life that is truly consistent with the gospel? Is it our Lord? Lord Jesus, self-examination sometimes is so painful. We like to point our fingers of blame at others, at Judas, at Matthew, at Jim, or Joe, or John. But surely not our Lord. Help us to be honest with ourselves and with you. And infilled with your Holy Spirit, oh God, enable us to live a life that becomes the gospel and shows forth your praise. And it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray.